From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Republicans in the House finally unveiled their much-talked-about tax reform bill. The massive 429-page Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. House Ways and Means Chair Kevin Brady joined House Speaker Paul Ryan in announcing the bill. Ryan said, quote, this plan is for the middle-class families in this country who deserve a break. It is for the families who are out there living paycheck to paycheck who just keep getting squeezed. What he didn't say is that the bill permanently cuts the corporate tax rate from the current 35% to 20%. It also eliminates the alternative minimum tax and doubles the standard deduction for families in the middle income bracket. The tax reform bill does leave intact the deductions for charitable contributions as well as contributions to 401k plans. Joining me to help analyze this bill is Charlie Fink. He is a writer, a producer, and a futurist, and he's a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. Welcome to the program, Charlie.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So this bill obviously has the one that's actually emerged is a little bit different from what we were told it would be in the weeks that Republicans have been touting, and Trump himself, Donald Trump, has been putting out outlines of a bill. There's a few small differences, but by and large, I think it would be good for us to start with the corporate tax rate. This cut from the nominal 35% rate, which most corporations don't actually pay because they use the loopholes, it would now be cut permanently to 20%. This is a part of the bill they're not emphasizing very much, are they?
No, and it's just another strategy for shifting the tax burden onto regular people and off of corporations and their shareholders.
So
that's what they're doing. The corporate tax rate in the 60s was 60%.
Wow.
And
that
60% gave companies the incentive to distribute money to their employees and to their shareholders. And so it's a perverse incentive. If you make it easy to take that money out as profits, it actually doesn't help the people who work there.
I see what you're saying. So if profits are taxed at a really high amount, you might want to minimize the profits simply by giving more of it in wages to employees, except, of course, what Republicans often emphasize, this idea of trickle-down economics, is that if we put more money into the hands of corporations, they will create more jobs. And in fact, we don't even hear the Republicans use the term corporations anymore. They simply call them job creators.
Well, I think that we need to, if we rewind a little bit and talk about what we just saw, it was an appropriate, Paul Ryan and the right have adopted a populist language. And they're using this populist language to mislead people about what they're going to get. And they're using this $1,200 number, it's actually $1,182. As their average kickback to the middle class consumer. And Paul Ryan said it's going to help save for retirement and save for college. This is truly insane. What college, where does $1,182 help you to go to? The one thing he said that I thought was resonant is for a lot of people, that's a year's worth of gas. He also said they were closing loopholes, which they haven't yet closed or articulated what those loopholes are. And the other thing he said, which I thought was really interesting, was that now America can compete with the rest of the world. And that was the one thing he said that really was true. Because there is a pan-global movement, globalization, if you will, because transporting goods now has a nominal cost, right? It costs you 10 cents to get a $200 camera from China. So that means that all wages will go to the bottom and be the same. So that what the Republicans really want is for American workers to make the same money that workers in Brazil make and, workers in the Far East make. They've wrested parity away from the high paid European worker and now have put the American worker on an equal footing with workers across the world. And that sounds like fairness when you say it really fast among a lot of populist rhetoric, like, isn't this great? We're helping out the little guy and the little guy is the one who counts. It's just air cover. It's a total lie. It's the same lie as trickle down. Is there proof that trickle down works? It's been tried repeatedly. It's never worked. In fact, last time it was tried under George W. Bush, who, with his Republican Congress in 2002, passed a historic tax cut bill. It's actually larger than the one Trump is talking about now. It nearly bankrupted the country. It increased the money supply to the point that there was a huge housing bubble, which nearly took down the economy. So there's ample proof that trickle down does not work, and these kind of stimuli to the economy have a bad end. So here's another thing. Every man, woman, and child in the United States is $63,000 in debt. So they're going to give me $1,100, and that's going to help me pay that debt. So yeah. I think you're a little out of whack. I've got another idea. Let's tax people who make, let's not have four tax brackets or even three tax brackets. Let's have two tax brackets. How about that? One tax bracket is for people who make $100,000 or less a year, and they pay zero. And then one tax bracket is for people who make $1 million a year, and they pay, I don't know, 75%. What would be wrong with that? If you want money, if your country is in debt, you don't go to poor people to get it. That is the problem with this. Yeah, we should cut taxes for people who, you know, things are too expensive in this country. We're being robbed blind. A person who makes even $100,000 a year, and I know there are people who are making 30 and 40 who are saying $100,000, I'll take that $1,000. It sounds like a lot, but we're all in $63,000 of debt, including children who are not yet born.
Right, and what
debt was put on us in a time of war. And it all went up in smoke in 2008 when their scheme came tumbling down.
And of course, what they don't say is that when they get these tax cuts passed, the Treasury loses out. And so there's all of a sudden less money to pay for the social services that we benefit from. I actually want to play for our audience Paul Ryan's, a short clip of Paul Ryan's speech on Thursday when he unveiled the tax bill. Following Paul Ryan, however, we'll hear Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders had their response to the tax bill that they posted on Twitter. And we'll hear a clip of Elizabeth Warren explaining who the real beneficiaries are. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan, followed by Senator Elizabeth Warren.
First, I want to thank these families for taking time out of their day to join us. Welcome. It is great to have you here with us today. It's fantastic. You are who this is all about. This plan is for the middle-class families in this country who deserve a break. It is for the families who are out there living paycheck to paycheck who just keep getting squeezed. You know, about half the country today is living paycheck to paycheck, and a lot more people are about a paycheck away from living paycheck to paycheck in this country, and this is going to help give people relief.
First biggest beneficiary is going to be the giant banks, right? In fact, estimated to be number one on the list is Wells Fargo. Remember our friends from the fake account scandal?
Socially conscious institutions.
That's right. That's the one. That's the one. Second set of big beneficiaries here are going to be the multinational corporations. And the third biggest group, wealthy foreign investors. So here we are at a moment of record corporate profits. And the Republicans think what this economy needs is a bunch of tax giveaways to the very richest in this economy, to the giant corporations.
And that's Senator Elizabeth Warren sitting down with Senator Bernie Sanders, giving a response to the tax reform bill put out by the Republican Party, by the House Ways and Means Committee. In fact, on our website, we'll post a link to that entire video so you can watch it. Interestingly enough, Charlie, if you go to Kevin Brady's website and look at the description of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the very first page or so, the very first screen or so, is all about the benefits for families, increasing standard deductions, establishing a new family credit, which expands a child tax credit, preserving in the child dependent care tax credit, et cetera, and all of this stuff. But if you go down to the bottom, it says for job creators of all sizes, which of course they mean big corporations, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It reduces the corporate rates and gives them all sorts of benefits. The jobs part of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act is just basically giving corporations more money, right?
Oh, absolutely. This is, you know, this is a thinly disguised method of taking public money and putting it into private hands. It's going to take the deficit. It's so funny. Republicans are so worried about the deficit when Democrats are in office. But this is going to double the deficit. And then our books will look worse than Venezuela's books worked when they went bankrupt. Mm. Because a bank will look at us and say, the people in your country don't have the lifetime ability to pay off this debt. The entire Republican plan also hinges on the supposition that this tax cut is going to greatly increase the GDP. If it does not do what they predict it will do, then it'll be even more disastrous.
So they seem to be thinking that they can sell this bill to the middle class by putting, you know, for example, doubling the deductions, keeping intact the 401k contributions, which people were worried about, the whole charitable contribution stuff. And so it's almost like they're throwing a few crumbs to the middle class, hoping that that will be the Trojan horse that obscures the much bigger giveaway. The question is, are Americans buying it? There was one poll that showed that very few Americans, something like 60% of Americans, were skeptical of the tax bill. And of course, for people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren to speak out helps a lot. Do you think they're going to get this? The poll said only 13% believe that the tax plan will help the middle class. Do you think that this tax plan has any chance of actually passing the committee and going to the House and passing a real vote?
Oh, I think it will. I think it will. The only thing the Republicans really agree about is greed. So yeah, it will, and they're trying to cut everybody in on their greed, and they're trying to appeal to people's greed, and they're cloaking it in the language of populism. It would be amazing to put the Ryan speech and the Sanders speech side by side, because a lot of the things they're saying are the same. And I think that is part of the Republican talking points, and the bribe is certainly important because many people absolutely could use $1,100. I don't think it's going to.
Or the child tax credits, families.
Their house. Paul Ryan said he's going to remodel their house. You know, these are just ridiculous things, but they sound, you know, when they say it, it sounds true. It has truthiness about it. And, you know, hey, I get $1,100.
And this is just a typical family, by the way.
Yeah, right. Not every family will get it. Some will get more, some will get less, of course. And the less you make, the less you'll get, of course. That's the irony. So people who are paying very little in taxes will get very little benefit. Here's the irony, of course. Because they've done this, the Republicans will then have to say, we're going to have to start cutting services and benefits or we're going to go bankrupt. Well, why are we going to go bankrupt? Because they gave the wealth of the nation away to corporations and high net worth individuals. And having done that, universities suffer, both K through 12 and college, at a time when China is emphasizing STEM and limiting the size of their science classes. China says they're going to have, in 15 years, an army of programmers larger than the PLA, which I think is 5 million people. And, you know, they're making these investments while we're going to have to cut back on our investments in order to pay for these tax cuts and for the unfunded wars and the previous tax cuts in the 2000s that the Republicans passed that, as I said, tanked the economy rather than stimulated it. There's a short-term stimulus. There will be a short-term stimulus to this, but it's going to be disastrous. And that is the history of these kinds of trickle-down tax cuts, and it is terrifying. So it's great to hear that people aren't buying it, but we also know people are easily influenced by social media and by the people around them. And you know, by these politicians and Trump's consistent lying, where, you know, he says things that you want to be true. And so people go along with it. It's terrible.
The other thing that they were using to sell the bill was the simplification of filing your taxes. And of course, you know, when you talk about tax filings, people's eyes glaze over because, and especially people who do their own taxes, it can be complicated. And Paul Ryan and Trump waved around these little postcards saying, look, if you pass this, if you support this tax bill that we want to pass, you'll get to file your taxes on a teeny tiny little postcard. Simple and fair it's going to be.
Didn't mention is the current Form 1040 is 2 pages. Certainly you could shrink it down to the size of a postcard, but it is only 2 pages. And there are only 7 or 8 lines to fill out. So if you've worked in one place and that's all of your income, you have a statement from them, all the numbers you need to put in. So I don't know how much more simple it can be made.
That's a good point. So at this point, what needs to, you know, essentially what's probably going to happen is that the House is going to pass the bill because Republicans have enough of a majority, and then it's going to go into the Senate. And the only place that there is a hope of it not passing the Senate is with the so-called moderate Republicans, just like the healthcare reform bill died because a few Republicans stepped in. Some Republicans stepped in because it wasn't cruel enough. So I'm wondering if you think it's at the Senate where some sense might prevail?
Well, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and Senator McCain were extremely brave to go against their party over health care, and that was a really big deal. This is a really big deal, too. But remember, underneath the veneer of reasonableness, these are still Republicans. So this has to do with money. And as I said, greed is what they agree on. And remember, these are wealthy people who are supported by wealthy people who are voting for a tax cut for themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's three of them have to go against the majority. John McCain has no history of going against these kinds of things. He did vote against the Bush tax cuts in 2002, but he claimed it was because there was war, not because he didn't want to cut taxes. And he obviously campaigned on tax cuts in 2008. So I don't see them. No, I don't see any the three senators going against the majority to stop this thing, I'm afraid. What we need to do is elect a Democratic majority and undo it. And the only way we're going to do that is by getting people to vote who don't vote. 53% of the people in this country don't vote. You know, we have a voting participation rate among the lowest, and when I say lowest, in the bottom 20% of all developed countries, actually of all countries that have supposedly democratic elections. If those people voted, there would be a revolution in this country.
Well,
but
Charlie,
we're going to remain divided because no Republican is going to convince me or you, and you and I are not going to convince them. So this country is deeply divided, and media and social media ensures it stays that way. So our only hope really is to get those 53% to vote. And I wish I had a silver bullet or a document that would be a guide to getting them to be passionate and to vote in their best interest and to help us take our country back. But it hasn't happened yet. Maybe things aren't bad enough. Maybe it will never happen. But I think that's really where the difference lies. And if we can't get those people to act to save democracy, we may not be able to keep it.
Well, Charlie, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to the website of Patriotic Millionaires from our site later. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Sonali.
Charlie Fink is a writer, producer, and futurist, and member of the Patriotic Millionaires. We've been discussing the tax reform bill that was just introduced by House Republicans. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.